Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Let's lift our hands just in the air, just for a second as we're seated. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Spirit of revelation, Father, be upon. Father, open up every heart and every mind, Father, to your word. Father, apart from you, Father, I can't do anything. But Lord God, the enabling of your Holy Spirit, Father, let your word bring life. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring faith. Let it bring hope today, Father, to every single heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be declaring some scriptures today, and they're going to come behind me. It feels like I'm going to be on a bit of a, sometimes it's going to be like I'm on a racehorse, and we're going around, but we will get there. But just hang in there, hang in with me, just stay with me until we get to the very end. This is what the Lord declares over you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. Life will not give you what you deserve. Life will give you what you settle for. Don't settle for second best. Settle for what God has planned for you. He's planned the best for you. Nothing but the best. All the best is planned for you. Now, this is wonderful kind of tension here. Hope in conjunction with faith enables us to see and receive the future that God has planned for us. I love this in Ephesians 1, chapter 18 and 19. You think, oh, Gary's off on the horse again. He's on another scripture. It's okay. I also pray for your heart to be filled with light, that you will see for yourself and know in your experience the hope to which he called you, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in your life. What is this hope? What is it? What is it? That his saints, all those who belong to him, will enjoy the riches of his glorious inheritance, that they may also know his power working in them because they believe in him. A power so great that it cannot be compared with any other power. Amen. That glorious, glorious, glorious power has come to live in us by the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit living in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. He's your hope. He's your victory. 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So many of us, when we read this, when we've read this scripture, we forget the wonderful sandwich. I praise God for faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God authors faith. God gives faith. God initiates faith. I praise God for love because God is love. That's his nature. That's who he is. That's who he's called to be. But I praise God for hope. Do you know when I was little, when it used to get to the end of the week? You know, every day was spam, 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 spam sandwiches. Well, sometimes we forget about hope. And for me, jam was the, when I was little, was the piece de resistance when I was a, 4 or 5 year old. You know, jam. You know, jam. When I got jam, I knew everything ran out. But let's not forget the power of jam today. The power of hope. And that's what I really want to encourage you with. As a supernatural product of faith, hope's power enables a believer through a joyful expectation, just say joyful expectation, not to give up in the face of adversity or delay. Now, natural hope, see, the world has natural hope. Natural hope is dependent on our senses, our sensory perception, what we can see, hear, and touch. So this forms the evidence that becomes the basis of that hope. Natural hope depends on supporting evidence. It will rise and fall with every positive or negative report. You know, people in this nation, sometimes, you know, I mean, the president changes in America and it's like the hopes go down, you know, or you know, a country makes a decision and our hopes go away. Jesus is the hope of our nation. Jesus is the stability of our lives. So we're not looking to the natural. We're not looking at natural things. You know, we're not looking at our bank account going up and down. We're not looking at our natural resources. Our faith isn't in that. Our faith is in the total provision of God and who He is. Biblical hope is not based on the information received by our natural senses. Now listen to this. But it is based upon the information directly imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. And it is received through faith. God-given hope eagerly waits with perseverance. It creates an expectation that survives the ups and downs of life's changing circumstances. This is wonderful news. Biblical hope is based on God and His saving activity. It trusts God to fulfill His promises and looks for something with eager expectation. Depending on the reliable source of information, why God is the Alpha and the Omega. He never changes. From one minute He is faithful, the next minute He is faithful, the next minute He is faithful, the next minute He is faithful. He is unchanging in His faithfulness to us. It's trust grounded in faith. This is one of my most favorite scriptures. You're allowed to get excited today because I'm really excited to be here. I'm really excited about what God's going to do in our lives. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works together for good with those who loved Him, who've been called according to His purpose. Doesn't matter what we go through. Now, God doesn't create bad things. The flesh sometimes creates bad things. The devil creates bad things. But God works in those situations. He works in those circumstances to turn them around. As we fix our eyes on Him, as we look to Him, as more that we look to Him, the greater, in a sense, the greater He becomes. When we look at ourselves and the circumstances, the greater they become. But God works in all things. Me and Rachel have been through some horrendous situations. Probably some of you have been through situations. But somehow through the storm and somehow through the trial, as you kept your eyes on God and kept your eyes on His love, kept your eyes on His faithfulness, kept your eyes on His goodness, kept your eyes on His mercy, as you've done that, He works all things together. He says, Gary, I'm going to pull you through. Church, I'm going to pull you through. Church, you're an overcoming people. Church, you're going to come out on top. Yeah, not on the bottom, but on top. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whereas hope is the joyful expectation that keeps us engaged in faith. Hope is powerful. The hope of God is powerful. Why? Because it keeps us engaged in faith. It's that expectation. Now, when I'm going to read this scripture, every face needs to be smiling on the next one. Yeah. Every face needs to be smiling. Romans 15:13. This is the Amplified. It may take just a few minutes longer, but it's going to be good when I get to the end of it. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing, through the experience of your faith, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound, overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Amen. See, when the world sees you, they don't see someone that's depressed. They see someone that's bubbling over with hope. Christ in you. You know, you've got Christ in you. Do you know what He's going to do? He's going to bubble up, and He's going to come out of your face. He's going to smile. He's going to come out. He's going to be released. If you look at yourself, you're going to get depressed. And in the wise words of someone, stop it. Stop doing that now. You know, God, we have Christ in us. The Spirit of glory in us. We've got the bubbling one. In a sense, He bubbles with life and joy and grace and mercy. Hebrews 6:19. Every scripture is going to get better. It's just going to get better and better and better as we get to the end. There's going to be a little bit in the middle that's going to be slightly challenging. But then we'll get over that and we'll get to the end, okay? Hebrews 6:19. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor to the soul. Listen to this hope. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever steps out on it. Hope that reaches farther enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. That hope is so powerful. So you're walking along, and in a sense, the buffets of life. Now, this hope is actually anchored into the very sanctuary of God. And as you're walking along, the winds of adversity are trying to buff you. They're trying to shake you away from the purposes of God. But this anchor is so steadfast. It's connected to Jesus, and Jesus is connected to you, and he's not going to let you go. In every circumstance, he's not going to let you go. And as you keep walking, now it might feel that you're on a bungee and not at the end, and life is, oh, goodness me, but he's going to get you there. Why? Because you're attached to him, and he's holding the rope at the other end. The devil's not holding the rope. Amen. This hope is so real, it's called an anchor. It's described as being firm and secure. Like the anchor of a ship, it holds us when storms bring pressures and drive us away from the place where God has chosen to work in our lives. It is a living and powerful reality that creates an expectation like an anchor that secures us where we're waiting for the manifestation of a miracle. No matter what's happening, this hope is connecting you to God. This hope, this bubbling, living reality is connecting you to God. You know, in a sense, we're not to give up hope. This is what it's to, it's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Did you know when you walked in this room this morning, actually you have an unbreakable spiritual lifeline connecting you to Jesus, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus is running ahead of us. He's taken up his permanent post as high priest. He's taken up his position. He's conquered. He's victorious. And he's hanging on to us. He is our anchor, our steadfast, secure anchor. And we're hanging on to him. But that lifeline is not broken. That lifeline is secure. Why? Because it's in his hands and not in our hands. This is interesting. Faith will fix our course as we journey, but hope is our anchor when the storm comes. When we are tempted to change our course, it will keep us firmly fixed in the pathway of our destination, so we will continue without wavering. Hope will become your lifeline, your stabilizer. You're not at the mercies of life's unpredictable winds and currents. Your storm will not destroy you. You will win. Amen. God wants to break the demoralizing power of hopelessness. Why is that? Hopelessness paralyzes the soul. Hopeless hearts can't reach out in faith. Now listen to this. Hope is to the heart what seeds are to the earth. Without hope, life is sterile, unfruitful. Without its dreams won't be conceived, destinies won't be realized. Hope is powerful because it's the starting line, the launch pad. It is in fact the incubator where faith is formed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If there is no hope in the future, there will be no faith to face it, let alone build it. Now this is the little bit in the middle. This is the coming to the section now of the little bit of a testy. Oh, some of this is going to be slightly painful, but that's okay. I like a bit of pain. No pain, no gain. Yeah. Just say to your friend, no pain, no gain. Proverbs 4:23-24. I'm amazed by this when we read, you know, we've probably read this proverb a little while ago, haven't we? You know, going through the sequence of reading going through Proverbs. Above all else, everything, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. See, the word of God exhorts us to build a sacred enclosure around the headwaters of our life. Take care to protect the inner spring that nourishes and propels virtually everything and else we do. The heart, you know, Jesus, you know, says above all else, doesn't he, in a sense, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the heart, we need to guard the headwater of our hearts. We need to guard this. See, if we're speaking hopelessness and God is speaking hope and faith, we need to guard our hearts. You know, I believe last week I just had a little catch up with someone. Shame is about talking about life. God is, you know, is God speaking life over you. You know, life, you're a resurrection people, you're people of life. Now listen to this one. This is the ouch one. Ooh. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." But listen to this. "But desire fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When we've allowed, in a sense, I'm not talking about a major heart disease, and I'm not even speaking disease over anybody's heart, but when we actually live in a place where we've allowed that some of that reality to happen, what happens? "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." This is Hebrews 12:1. It's not up there, I don't think. We are exhorted in Hebrews 12:1. What effects are endurance in the race? The loss of hope. The lack of endurance is one of the results of a hope-deferred heart. What causes this condition described by the scriptures as hope-deferred? It's really very simple. Unfulfilled or shattered hopes and dreams. If it hurts now when you think about the dream, if passion and wane and atrophy is encroached, if you find yourself going through the motions, doing and saying the right things, all the while feeling empty and lifeless on the inside, if the promise now sparks disillusionment or cynicism instead of faith, if the statement God is going to come through for you, God's really challenged me recently, you know, in a sense, we're seeing our, you know, we've got kids in their 20s now. Sarah's 23, Samuel's nearly 21 this year. Just that right-hand check with Rachel. Make sure I got the information right. I sometimes, because we've been through so many painful situations, you know, along the journey, what happens is we can get to a place where we have a hope-deferred heart. Our hearts become sick. Why? Because we don't see the reality of what we've been praying and speaking about in their lives, or see, you know, we get disillusioned. And I've just come to a place where I need to, you know, myself grab hold of God and say, "God is good. You're a good, good Father. And I'm going to speak your word over my children. No matter what I see, no matter what happens, I'm just going to speak your word. I'm going to exalt you above whatever's happening in their lives, because you're greater than what's happening." Amen. Now, someone experienced this. This isn't up there, but someone experienced this in the Bible. And we love him very much because he shows us all the warts and all. There's a person called David. And he expresses the reality of the journey. This is real to him as he's going through this journey. Now, Psalm 142. He's not in a great place here. "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path, and in the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul." Now listen to what his heart cry is. "Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name." The circumstances have led his soul and his perception of what was happening. He'd lost sight of the greatness of God. He'd lost sight through all of the pain and the suffering. And what he'd got come to that place, he was in a cave. Now Psalm 42:11, hopefully we got this one. Here we go. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put our hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Perhaps life has thrown you a few curveballs, as it did with David. The crazy king throwing spears at him, causing him to hide in a cave. See, sometimes we hide in caves and we don't even realize that we're hiding. Our cave may be pain. It may be unforgiveness. It may be discouragement. It may be disillusionment. It doesn't really matter the cause of a hope-deferred heart. But don't let this enemy, because it's an enemy, don't let this enemy imprison your soul. Yeah, yeah. God says, now listen to this. Oh, this is fantastic. God says you can become a prisoner of hope. Zechariah 9:12. I don't think it's up there. If it is, praise God. If it's not, it's okay. "Not of despair. Do as David did. Command your soul to hope. He made it out of his prison, and so will you. You may not feel like, but you're going to live again. You're going to leave your prison or cave and rise above every disappointment and re-enter life. The power of hope is going to help you. And here is the best news of the morning. This is the one that I want you to stay with about from any other. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is going to stay with you. Jesus is going to be with you. Jesus is going to be with you in the storm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, even if I go through stuff, Jesus is with me. Jesus is going to guide me. Your rod and your staff are going to guide me. God's going to bring me out of the other side with praising. Amen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Yes. Jesus wants to fill you with joy and peace in believing so that you are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not an activity of the flesh. It's not, oh, I hope in that. It's an activity, an energizing of the Holy Spirit. With all my heart, I believe God wants to crown every tomb of your life with a resurrection. Everywhere that the enemy said to you, this isn't going to happen, that's not going to happen. Or something, the circumstance is not going to happen. It's become a tomb, but it's also going to become a place of resurrection. Amen. Abraham and Sarah discovered this wonderful truth. Theirs was an extreme case of hope deferred. Hope deferred. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What happened? I'm going to act this out a little bit now, not because I'm a Wally. I'm going to act it out because I want you to bring you into the story. You know, we're going to read, potentially, we're kind of kicking Genesis 14, 15, 16. We're going to pull into some of these Genesis passages this week. They laughed cynically after 24 years of waiting. God came to them one last time, promising Isaac. You may even recognize this laugh of cynicism, having experienced it yourself. Now, this is, I'm going to do this now. So it says, the Lord speaking to Abraham. Genesis 17, verse 16 and 17. 16 to 18. That's it. Genesis 17, 16 to 18. I will bless her, and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her that she will be called the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come out from her. Abraham fell face down, and he looked. What is God going to do? So continue your no. See, that's what it was like. Will a son be born to a man 100 years? Whose idea was that? Will a son be born to a man who's 100 years old? No. Will Sarah bear a child? And Abraham said to God, if only what does man do? If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Can we do it ourselves? I'll have a go, God. Can we make it happen? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, Genesis 18. We're going to hit it next week, I believe. Is that right? Then the Lord said, I will surely to return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now listen, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Now look, so Sarah... Wait! Look at me! Wrinkly! No! Everything's not working! No! You know? Sarah laughed to herself and she said, thought, after I'm worn out but my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Cynicism. Cynicism. Their faith for a child was dead. They were cynical. But their story didn't end there. Why? The God of resurrection stepped in. Yeah, come on. Listen to his final witness of a restored Abraham and Sarah who broke through into faith and fulfillment, just as you are going to do. Romans 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as has been said to him, so shall your offering be. Without weakening in his face, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. The word dead comes up there a few times there. There was no way that they were going to do this in their own strength and in their own might and in their own power. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now listen to this. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised to do. Being fully persuaded, God had power. Some of us have put our dreams and our visions down. Some of us have let them go. Some of us have parked ourselves like in a cave. If Abraham and Sarah could move from such an extreme stage of hope deferred to strong, vibrant faith, you can as well. In hope against hope is a powerful phrase. It means that in the face of absolute hopelessness, Abraham hoped anyway. Now we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the one that's bubbling up all the time. We have that one, you know, that's leading us with that expectation of faith and life. Winds of adversity may have blown through your life. Your world may be falling apart. But if you will look closely enough, you'll see the light of God's faithfulness shining through the debris. And you can rise above the devastation because it's your nature to overcome. We are overcomers because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not natural overcoming, it's supernatural overcoming. Before God is finished, you're going to climb out of the debris. Now listen to this. How are you going to do this? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You're going to announce to the world that you've entered a new day. Why? Because deep down in your DNA, you're an overcomer. God has programmed you to heal, to overcome, and to win. That's your DNA set full down inside who you are. Exodus chapter 3 and 4 makes it clear that Moses had completely run out of hope. His tank was empty and he was past believing. You know the story, don't we? Moses tried to do it himself. He tried to be the savior of Israel. He ended up killing someone. And he ran away in fear and hair. And he was, you know, for years and years just in that place of fear. His cave or, you know, his place. But God brought him to a place, you know, where he had an experience of like a burning bush, didn't he? And it changed everything. Any faith he had for fulfilling his destiny and helping his fellow Israelites had been dead for a long time. But the God who brings hope to the hopeless re-entered his life through the burning bush, opened up his clogged arteries, and gave him a good shot of adrenaline and said, "Let's go. Moses, I'm not finished with you." We sang it this morning. There's no I am that I am has spoken to you. And the I am has spoken to you about family members, people, our situations, our circumstances. Like Abraham, you will believe. Now listen to this. Like Sarah, you will conceive. And like Moses, you will rise from every isolation and exile. You will live again. God is determined to reverse your tragedy into transformation. And crown your tomb with a testimony of his glorious resurrection. Amen. Bit disappointed. Bex? God's going to restore. Yeah. He knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you, give you a hope and a future, you and Dan. He hasn't forgotten. Yeah. Don't let the enemy rob you at this moment in time, okay? Don't let him steal the promise that's inside your heart you've kept alive. Amen. Thank you for pursuing me with your relentless love, never giving up on me. Your love has made it possible for me to hope against hope and real hope once again. My life will be beautifully transformed and crowned with the testimony of a glorious resurrection. Many of us, if we're honest, will admit to areas in our hearts where hope deferred has robbed us of our ability to believe anything truly supernatural. But you are an overcomer in the deepest part of your spiritual DNA. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Thank you. I just want you to see this. Have the attitude of a small bird in the midst of the storm that was clinging to the limb of a tree, seemingly calm and unafraid. As the winds tore at the limbs of the tree, the bird continued to look at the storm in the face of it and say, can you imagine this? This violent, sometimes it feels like that, and it feels like you're this little bird on the beginning of the bough of the tree or the branch, and the winds are around you and the storms are around you, and this thing is really powerful, and you can see the twigs and the branches being broken off. But what I love the little bird's heart is, shake me off, I've still got wings. Shake me off, I've still got wings. We need to be Red Bull Christians. Amen. Shake me off, I've still got wings. I'm not a victim of any storm. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God says, I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Can I ask the band to come up, please? Cheers. You have this vibrant hope bubbling up inside of you. You have Jesus bubbling up inside of you. Yeah? Now that the sequence of stuff, you know, that God has been speaking to all of us about over this season, it's time. Yeah? Now today, please don't harden your heart in any way in pride and just think, well, I'm not responding to that. I believe every person in this room can make a response today. By the very reality, it's time to come out of every cave of discouragement. If any of us are discouraged, I'm not living. God hasn't called you to live in a cave. He's called you to live in freedom and in life. It's time to come out. Some of us here might be confused, where we begin to question ourselves and God's promises. We come out of every unbelief. Some of us might be in a cave of unbelief, and God says, it's time to come out. It's time to come out. It's time to come out of every cave of disillusionment, where we question God's character and nature. Sometimes the most difficult questions to go through when we're going through pain, we say, why, Lord? But Jesus said, you know, you have tribulation in this world. You'll have trouble in this world. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome. I've overcome. I'm the victorious one. It doesn't say that we won't go through it. But what Jesus doesn't want us to be is be the victims of cave dwellers in this instance. Like David, stayed in a cave. We come out of every cave of bitterness where we blame others or we blame God. We come out of unforgiveness and we come into life. We come out of being in that place in our thinking. We say, Father, please forgive me. I choose to forgive them. I don't stay in this cave of unforgiveness, which is keeping me bound and not free. But I come out in wholeness now. I make a decision of my will, not an emotional decision. I choose to obey your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. And as I obey your word, I forgive and I let go. And as I do that, Lord, I thank you that I realized that I was the one that was chained inside there through unforgiveness and bitterness. We come out of every cave of cynicism where God has said something to us and spoken to us in a way where we go, oh, I can't believe that, God. I can't believe that. We come out of that cave. Let the Lord speak his word afresh. Like Richard, I am. He spoke the I am that I am. Church, he's the I am that I am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. What I'm going to ask us to do, for every heart in this room, all I'm going to do is ask you to come forward today. Just get out of your chair. Pride will keep us locked in there. Not because I'm wanting a response, but Jesus is wanting a response from your heart to his word. If any of those things in your life. So just by coming forward, and all I want you to do is just to call on the name of Jesus. You don't know what to pray? Just call on his name. And I'm going to do that as well. Because I'm part of moving with you today. But don't stay in a position where, you know, I'm not going to move anything. If you're in a place of fear, say, God, I'm coming out of fear and I'm coming into you. Forgive me for the fear. Forgive me for the discouragement. You know, I'm coming out of a cave of discouragement. But let the God of hope, let him work a miracle in you today. Where you're gonna, is that okay? So just everyone is gonna, just to respond. So I don't want to manipulate in that, but it's just Jesus, you're worthy of glory. Jesus, you're worthy of honor. Just call upon his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Just call upon his name now. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I reach out to you now. Jesus, I reach out to you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I reach out to you now. I come out of every cave. I come out of every disappointment. I come out of every lack, and I come into, Father, your fullness today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Where man has spoken something, where the enemy has said something, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of those lies right now. I shatter off those lies in the name of Jesus. I shatter off that in Jesus' name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we're going to just use this song as a declaration that we're moving. We're not going to be defined by the past. We're not going to let the past determine our future. God says to you, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But with all your heart now, we're going to sing this as a prophetic-like song. We're not going to look at the circumstances. We're not going to look at the past. We're coming out of the cave and we're saying, Jesus, you're the one. You're the one. Jesus. Jesus. The one. Jesus, the one I love, and I worship you with all my heart. You're the one, you're the one, Jesus. in my heart. There's anybody here today that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and the cave that you've been living in is a cave of darkness, despair, and hopelessness. Make a decision today. Say, God, I understand that on a cross 2,000 years ago that you died for my sin. You became sin that I might have life. And Lord, I come out of darkness because you're calling me out into the light of your glorious presence. So is there anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus? There's an invitation to you to come as well. Come and speak to Richard, Pastor Jonathan and Janet, to Andrew and other leaders here. Don't leave this room. If you don't know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, if you don't know that you are saved and you're going to go to heaven, your eternal destination, but he wants the reality of heaven to be living in you today so you can live for his purpose. You're the one, yes, Lord, the one I love, Jesus, yes. Doing here now by us taking communion together. And on the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks and said, "This is my body which is given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of a new covenant which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In a minute, I'm just going to hand it over to Richard. I believe God wants to work miracles as you take communion together. Miracles of healing, miracles of grace, miracles of his provision to you. As you feed upon him, he's breaking the power of every hopelessness, every cave mentality. As you're feeding on him in the word, and feeding upon his very body. For anybody here today that's you know, it's almost like, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Well, believe God for a miracle. As you take, you know, I'll just hand it back to Richard now, just as he, you know.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.